It's Tuesday, August 27. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, Americans say a war with Syria would be the most unpopular conflict ever. Then, the United States attempts to sabotage the UN chemical weapons investigation. And can weather be controlled using lasers? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm a Marine Corps. You're my enemy. You know what? You guys are a bunch of play soldiers and I've had it with you.
Top story tonight, as the war drums grow louder, an attack on Syria would be the most unpopular war ever. This is up on InfoWars.com. Support for an attack on Syria amongst Americans is more than three times lower than support for US involvement in Vietnam at the very lowest ebb of the Vietnam War, illustrating how universally unpopular such a move would be, despite the media claiming Obama would, quote, lose credibility if he does not launch a military assault. So we've got chicken hooks like Lieberman, McCain more recently, and the rest of the corporate press floating this talking point that Obama has to follow through on his red line rhetoric in order to save face, to restore his credibility. The question is, to restore his credibility with whom? Because it's certainly not the American people. A Reuters poll shows a mere 9% of Americans support an attack on Syria. The war in Vietnam was three times more popular at its most dire point in history in comparison to this planned assault on Syria. And as the Washington blog highlights in another article that we've got on InfoWars.com, other things that Americans find more appealing than attacking Syria include North Korea, cockroaches, lice, root canals, colonoscopies, traffic jams, used car salesmen, Genghis Khan, communism, BP during the Gulf oil spill, Nixon during Watergate, or King George during the American Revolution. All more popular amongst Americans than this planned attack on Syria. So does the Obama administration really care that virtually no one supports their imminent attack on Syria? Well, no, because they're merely doing the bidding of a 12-year plus military complex, military industrial complex agenda to target Syria. And on that note, listen to what Wesley Clark had to say about what he was told by a Pentagon official in the weeks after 9/11.
And by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
So this is about taking out each rogue nation, i.e. anyone who doesn't comply with the banker military industrial complex Monsanto, Goldman Sachs rule, one by one. And Syria is next on the chopping block along the path to Persia and ultimately the attack on Iran. Next up, Syria, another Western war crime in the making. This is by Paul Craig Roberts, who of course is a regular guest, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. And you've got to read the whole article because in it he completely tears apart the notion that Washington has any credibility whatsoever on the issue of chemical weapons. Recall that it was the United States who helped Saddam Hussein carry out his chemical weapons attack against the Iranians in the 80s. Of course, recently released CIA documents confirmed that. But that hasn't stopped the likes of John Kerry and today Jay Carney lecturing the whole world about the threat posed by chemical weapons. So Roberts basically echoes the warnings of others who have slammed the lunacy of this whole intervention and how it could very easily turn into World War III. Here's a passage from the article. Washington is driving the world closer to nuclear war than it ever has been in the past, in the most dangerous periods of the Cold War. And this is the guy who was around at that very time in the Reagan administration. He goes on to say, when Washington finishes with Syria, the next target is Iran. Russia and China will no longer be able to fool themselves that there is any system of international law or restraint on Western criminality. Basically goes on to say that Russia and China know that America has these fifth columns that provoke these phony revolutions in places like Libya, Syria, and Egypt, and that they're arming themselves with deterrent, with nuclear weapons, in order to counter that in the future. Because after Syria, after Iran, eventually you're going to get to Russia, you're going to get to China. So amazing article by Paul Craig Roberts. I would urge you to read it in full on Infowars.com. Next up, military strikes on Syria as early as Thursday, US officials say. This is NBC News. Missile strikes against Syria could be launched as early as Thursday, senior US officials said today as the White House intensified its push towards an international response to the suspected use of chemical weapons. Before any investigations actually being able to take place, of course, they're talking about 3 days of strikes that would be limited in scope. In my view, that whole limited strike rhetoric is probably a ruse. They're going to attack. They're going to wait until Syria. How dare they? They're going to wait until they defend themselves and then use that defense as another pretext to continue the assault. How dare they fight back? How dare they try and defend their country? But if you don't care about, you know, the lives of Syrian people already decimated by a civil war, if you don't care about the threat of World War III, maybe you'll care about this. Record numbers of Americans, of course, on food stamps. Major cities like Detroit going bankrupt. But the first stage, just the first stage of what they're talking about, this Tomahawk cruise missile attack, could cost up to $750 million. Just the first stage of it. And that's on you, the taxpayer, of course. $750 million to help Al-Qaeda terrorists seize control of a country just like in Libya. Is that really money well spent in these perilous economic times? But they're talking about airstrikes as early as Thursday, pretending that the decision hasn't been made when it obviously has. Next up, US attempts to sabotage UN chemical weapons investigation. Again, this is up on Infowars.com. Desperate to maintain a narrative that will justify a cruise missile attack on Syria, the Obama administration is seemingly trying everything in its power to sabotage the UN chemical weapon investigation in Syria. So why are the US and Britain so keen to derail the UN inspectors? Well, it's because last time they investigated a chemical weapons attack in Syria, the UN concluded it was the rebels who were responsible. We can't have that happening again, can we? That's going to interrupt this whole narrative, this whole drumbeat for war. It's very inconvenient indeed, which is why after the UN inspectors were targeted in a sniper attack yesterday, which all the evidence shows leads back to the rebels, the US came out with this veiled threat that they couldn't, quote, guarantee the safety of UN workers, which was basically a threat. Now they've had to postpone the investigation until tomorrow. Who knows if it'll even continue? Every hour is crucial. If they found evidence that the rebels were behind this alleged chemical weapons attack, as they were in the past, it could scupper the whole narrative that's building up towards the attack. And basically, we're seeing the same thing that happened in Iraq. You know, the inspectors went in, they found no evidence of weapons of mass destruction, and they were told by the US, doesn't matter. Get out, because we're going to bomb the crap out of this place anyway. So we're seeing the same thing unfold in Syria yet again. On the one hand, they're saying this chemical weapons inspection is inconsequential. It doesn't matter. We've already made our minds up before that any evidence has come in. And then on the other hand, they're actually trying to sabotage it with these sniper attacks and now a veiled threat telling the UN to get out of the country. They can't guarantee their safety. So dirty tricks all along the way in the build-up to war, as you would expect. Meanwhile, in America, this is out of benswan.com, how America reacted, Miley Cyrus versus Syria. And you can see the graph we're displaying here now. This is a Google search comparison from 2 days ago for the search terms Miley Cyrus versus Syria. And as you can see, an infinitely greater number of Americans are more interested in some whore of Babylon, talentless airhead gyrating on stage than they are the fact that their government is about to lead them into another war that could very well end up being the genesis of World War III. So you've got a twerking Miley Cyrus versus a potential global nuclear conflict. No competition for Americans. Miley Cyrus wins hands down. Someone on Facebook came up with a separate graphic, which you can now see, in a desperate attempt to kind of hoodwink Americans into paying attention by combining the two subjects. Don't think it's going to be successful, but good effort anyway. So, you know, verge of another war. Americans are obsessed with MTV Video Music Awards and Miley Cyrus gyrating about on stage, par for the course with the zombies. Couple of quick items of financial news in relation to Syria now. Dow falls 100 amid mounting worries over Syria. All S&P sectors lower. This is CNBC.com. Stocks remained in negative territory Tuesday, with the Dow drifting further from its psychologically important 15,000 mark amid building worries over potential US military action in Syria. And gold is having a huge day, and it just went straight vertical, reports Business Insider. And again, when war is on the horizon, of course, investors rush to the safe haven of gold bullion. And if it gets as bad as some have warned later down the line, then gold is just going to go parabolic. So all of you who bought during the recent dip are going to be patting yourselves on the back for making the right decision. Stock market heading lower, gold heading higher in response to these war drums. And now a fascinating article out of the Telegraph, switching gears into environmental news. Headline, weather could be controlled using lasers. Scientists are attempting to control the weather by using lasers to create clouds, induce rain, and even trigger lightning. Experts from around the world are together at the World Meteorological Organization next month to discuss how powerful laser pulses can be used to generate changes in the atmosphere that influence the weather. Their experiments have shown that intense pulses of light can cause ice to form and water to condense, leading to the formation of clouds. And they've begun testing this, firing lasers into the sky. And you know that if they're going public with this now, then, you know, as we've documented, governments have already been geoengineering on a vast scale for decades, altering the weather, altering disasters before they happen. And I guess that, you know, firing lasers into the sky is less dangerous than loading the atmosphere in the name of reducing global warming, which is what the likes of Bill Gates-funded scientific organizations have been doing for many years, with potentially disastrous consequences as these geoengineering projects get bigger and bigger. But now they're talking about firing lasers into the sky to alter the weather. That's out of the Telegraph today. Time for our quote of the day now. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired, signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. That's Dwight D. Eisenhower, who of course warned us of the perils of the military-industrial complex, now set to suck hundreds of millions, if not billions more dollars out of the US economy, in the name of another insane yet lucrative military intervention in Syria, which, as we said earlier, is going to cost some $750 million just for a kickoff. So again, warning from history from Dwight D. Eisenhower. Coming up, I talk to singer-songwriter Silver Versity about the Miley Cyrus-style degenerative pop culture cannibalism that's the debate at the moment, and how the music industry is being used to as a tool to dumb down and distract America's youth. Stay tuned for that interview on InfoWars Nightly News.
Now you can watch Alex Jones live at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
You can also browse the network, the InfoWars Nightly News,
and over 60 movies and documentaries all together in one place.
You can watch the Alex Jones Radio Show live as it happens.
So check it out, InfoWars.com/show.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest times. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, medical herbs, and more.
Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
We're back on InfoWars Nightly News, and if you've seen the show before, then you'll know that we're always keen to promote up-and-coming independent musicians whose work is informed by the spirit of truth. And on that note, I'm pleased to be joined by singer-songwriter Silver Versity. Silver, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. So for the viewers who are not aware of you or your work, briefly tell us about yourself and your musical background.
Okay. My name is Silva. I'm a first-generation Australian with a Hungarian family heritage. When I started singing and songwriting, it resonated with me deeply, and I knew that creating and performing music was the path that I wanted to follow for the rest of my life. And, Paul, I find music to be such a beautiful gift, and the fact that it's a language that everyone on this planet understands was the main reason why I wanted to pursue music. So, you know, since I've been here in Los Angeles, I've been writing and producing music, probably, gosh, over 80 songs with my music partner, Chris Landon, and we've formed the music production company 222 Music. Some of these songs I use for my artist repertoire when I perform live with my band. However, a lot of songs that we write I use for licensing to other artists, for commercials, for, you know, for movies and whatnot. And well, I just want to say that my mission in life is to inspire and bring about change through the language of music. I believe that's why I'm here, and I want to do it in a positive and impactful way.
Now, you're obviously Australian, but you're in LA at the moment. But from speaking to you, you're obviously aware of, you know, Alex Jones, InfoWars, and the truth movement in general. Mm-hmm. How did your political awakening arise, and how does it inform your music?
Well, I think alternative media sources are exactly what society has needed for a very long time. Because prior to this, we only really had one mainstream machine pumping us with a one-dimensional angle. So, you know, I believe that our society has the right to explore, you know, subjects in different lights. So to me, you know, it's a positive move in the right direction. And I think everyone has the right, you know, to explore subjects in different lights. It's, you know, as Americans, as Australians, and that kind of thing. So I think everyone can agree that YouTube, as crazy and oversaturated as it is, has opened up a lot of doors, you know, to an overall awakening, which is great. And as an artist, I consider myself more alternative as opposed to mainstream. So, you know, I prefer to write songs about my passions and my life experience, my thoughts and visions, and that's never going to change.
Now, one of your songs I saw in a previous interview, you briefly discussed it, is about overcoming resistance, and you cited Stephen Pressfield's book, which I've also read, called The War of Art, as an influence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as anyone who's read that book will know, it's mainly focused on eliminating procrastination, especially in the creative fields. So just explain to the audience, you know, where this form of self-resistance comes from and how we can overcome it in the creative process, whether it's writing music or any artistic pursuit.
Right. Well, procrastination definitely is one of the main forms of resistance. And resistance is a self-created invisible force, and it basically deters us from our path. You know, when we're trying to move forward, of like, you know, fulfilling our goals and that kind of thing, it's like a negative magnet. So for every step that we move forward, resistance tries to take us back a step or two. And resistance through distraction is a very powerful force to overcome. I think I think pop culture is a massive form of resistance. And, you know, it doesn't encourage critical thinking and creative expression. Paul, in regards to self-generated resistance, I think the first step in overcoming that is identifying its existence. And, you know, once we've done that, we can learn. And through discipline, we can block it and win our own creative battles.
You talk about pop culture. This is something that I've discussed before, which, as you mentioned, it's kind of this deliberate reductionism in art and music to encourage this cycle of passive, unthinking content while downplaying or discouraging anything with any real meaning. But what we also see in the music industry is, which is quite bizarre, which a lot of people focus on and it gets a lot of attention, is this deluge of famous music artists who talk about the Illuminati as if, you know, they're a part of it. Right. Do you think these artists genuinely believe that they're part of some kind of secret society that gives them this power and success in the music industry, or is it just a mindless fad that they try and glom onto in an effort to appear, you know, at the top of the tree, as it were?
Right. Well, unfortunately, Paul, I don't think it's just a mindless fad, and I don't know where it's going to go next, you know. I don't know. Nobody knows where it's going to go next. One thing I do know, though, is that the message is being portrayed to young people today, and I'm talking preteens, are perhaps a reflection of the mindless behavior of so many Americans that we keep hearing about in the news. Like, quite recently, my fellow Aussie, Chris Lane, you know, who was recently, you know, a victim of, you know, this American youth, which is just, it really shocked Australia, and obviously people worldwide, that this kind of thing could happen in, you know, through boredom. And I think, you know, I think pop culture definitely influences that, can influence that.
Well, that's a good point, because the murder of Chris Lane, now we've discovered, was a result of a gang initiation. And of course, that is now predominant in rap music, especially this idea that to be cool, to be successful, you have to throw up gang signs and talk about, you know, being part of a gang. Whereas if you look at some of the rap music from a decade or two earlier, it was more about self-empowerment. But as it's got more popular, it seems to be encouraging a more degenerative message. And I guess that this brings me on to my next question, which is, you know, we've got all this controversy this week about the MTV Video Music Award performances last night, just really kind of degenerative and ugly. As you mentioned, preteen audiences are watching the likes of Miley Cyrus while she's, you know, gyrating up against somebody's crotch, and most of her fans are 13, 14-year-old girls.
Exactly.
People have made reference to selling their soul to be successful in the music industry. Is there any way for talented people that you can see to become really popular and deservedly successful without crossing into that whole Illuminati degenerative sphere and, you know, not compromising their ideals? Is there any way for independent artists to become successful without selling their soul, as it were?
Well, Paul, I think, you know, a lot of artists are intimidated by the realities of the music industry as a whole, but, you know, every artist has the ability to overcome this resistance and deserves to have their voice heard in society. I think young creatives today are encouraged to follow a dead-end path instead of creating a path of their own. But with the means of social media, I think anything's possible. And if you're true to yourself, this will ring true to others as well. So I hope that we can create a new generation of artists by supporting each other's art and creations, and, you know, to do this in an effort to overcome the resistance that our current pop culture attacks us with. And I just want to say that I feel like today, you know, pop culture is a machine that's fronted by, how should I put it, like an army of puppeteers that communicate a disturbing subliminal message to entertain an audience and our future society. I mean, sometimes it's subliminal, sometimes it's not so subliminal, as we saw at the VMAs. But the true definition of the word entertain is being detained and letting something enter you. And the more I do my own personal research on, you know, shows such as InfoWars and that kind of thing, and find out about things and learn about things, it's, you know, about how our youth are being entertained, it's really scary. I'm kind of worried for the future.
Well, of course, Lauryn Hill, when she went public earlier this year, she labelled it the media industrial complex. She basically said it was, the music industry was designed to oppress people with genuine talent while pumping out this mindless nonsense. And right. Relation to that, I mean, what role from a positive aspect do you think that that music has to play in educating young people about real issues? Because we saw more of that, you know, 20, 25 years ago, not so much now. So how do you think music should be used to educate and inspire young people, the young generation?
Well, music has a profound impact on society and culture, and I feel like our current pop culture promotes a very disturbing behaviour amongst young people in society, like we've just been talking about, and nobody is speaking about it critically in the mainstream media, and young people don't know any better, so they embrace it. So hopefully people will, you know, wake up to the reality of what pop culture is doing to us and continue educating themselves through alternative media sources like InfoWars and evolve beyond the forces of resistance that we are brainwashed with.
Okay, so in closing, just tell people how they can find out more about you and your music.
Okay, I've just released a video called Overcoming Resistance, A Songwriter's Quest, which you can find on YouTube, which is youtube.com/silvermusic. You can also stay updated on all the latest on Facebook, which I update on a regular basis, and that's facebook.com/silvermusic. And, my official site is silvermusic.com.
Silvermusic.com. Okay, Silverversity will continue to track your progress and have you on again in the future. Thanks for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for having me, Paul. You have a great day.
Thank you. That's going to do it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Please subscribe at prisonplanet.tv. Of course, for those of you watching this on YouTube, just a ton of multimedia content since 2004 now, prisonplanet.tv. A library of information, speeches, special events, content that you're not going to see on YouTube. And of course, it supports our entire network, enables us to deliver this content, InfoWars Nightly News, Monday to Friday at 7 p.m. So subscribe at prisonplanet.tv and we'll see you on the next edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.